I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome back Ryan Neal. Ryan is a seasoned investor, director, and advisor with more than 10 years of experience in collaborating with the owners and managers of private companies to increase their value. Ryan is the president and co-founder of Blueprint Consulting Services. He's also an active member of the Seattle chapter of Entrepreneurs Organization. Ryan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks again for having me back on.
So it's been a while since you were on Smashing the Plateau. You were on episode 105, which was back in September of 2015. And I'm sure a lot has happened to you since then. I wondered if you could just, in a snapshot, bring us up to date on what some of the newer things are that's been going on with Ryan.
Yeah, well, we have taken 2016 to continue to grow the company. The technical consulting company, Blueprint Consulting Services, has really taken off. It had 100% year-over-year growth in 2015 and 2016. And now we're actually poised to, for our projections, to grow at 100% year-over-year in 2017 as well. So that's been great. And the time from September of 2015 till now, it's interesting to look back all the way. That seems like a lifetime at this point. And it's the process of kind of reinventing that I've gone through over the last, I guess that's 18 months to get to where I am now. I still remember the sitting down and actually doing that podcast. It seems like such a long time ago.
100% growth is pretty awesome. And I bet also has its share of challenges. Many people would be envious of the ability to sell at that rate, but I know being able to build up and deliver on your promise to customers can also be a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. Especially in a business like ours, which is very talent driven. On the consulting side of the world, every single one of our dollars is tied to an individual that is performing the work. And so it's not just another subscriber that signs up for a service or buys a particular product. It's another individual that we have to, you know, go out and identify some high talent individual in the market and then bring them on board our culture. So it adds that an additional level of complexity.
It's a huge complexity because we're dealing with human dynamics. It very much is not like adding a new subscriber. So I would imagine that there are huge challenges to scale when the scaling is talent driven.
Yeah, especially when, you know, you have the majority of entrepreneurs I talk to, they're once they get to a certain size, their whole goal flips around and they actually set a goal for themselves to have as little employees as possible.
Right. You know, so speaking of different kinds of goals and understanding what some of the challenges are to grow and dealing with the various plateaus that you hit along the way. What have you found to be some of the best kinds of help that you've received trying to understand how to do the best job you can as a leader?
I think it's critical to have that support system around you, not only to help you kind of go through your journey as you're hitting these different plateaus and making your way through these growth phases, but then the bigger thing is just to be able to help you think differently. As an entrepreneur, it's very much so the concept of big fish in a small pond or small fish in a big pond is very apt. And then, you know, most people apply that to kind of an employment scenario where they would want to, they have to choose between whether or not they want to either work in a big company and be a cog in the wheel or work in a small company and kind of be a jack of all trades and do everything. But then for the entrepreneur, you also have the added complexity of that responsibility and obligation that all your employees and their payroll and their families rely on you to actually make good decisions and to know, you know, to have a vision around where the company is going to go. And so for me, I mean, I find my support group in a lot of different ways. And from my entrepreneur group to my mentors, to my mentees, everybody, to my peers, my partners, my staff, we create a really good environment where we're constantly trying to reevaluate and challenge ourselves to think differently. Because when you get to a certain size, especially where we're at, I've never been the president of a company that has projections to be over $150 million in revenue. I have no idea who I need to be and how I need to act. And so getting those external resources and that constant feedback is critical.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of structures do you have in place for yourself now to help you with those kinds of decisions?
Well, a lot of it is figuring out what my peers have done. I have a really good person in my entrepreneur group that was his company was the fastest growing company in Alberta. So he shares a lot of his growth from a tree planter to a CEO of a multi-million-dollar corporation in Calgary. But then also, you know, my main mentor is John Connors, who is the managing partner of Ignition Partners, which is the biggest VC venture capital firm here in Seattle. And I get a lot of different advice, but I think more importantly is not only just getting advice so that you can come in and kind of be differently, but also setting up an environment where you can act differently and get that feedback kind of real time. So things that we are doing this year in preparation for our growth in 2017 is I've challenged myself with my goal for this year for Blueprint Consulting Services is to never make a decision or give an opinion about the strategy of the company. And what that does is it's made me actually start to reform what our leadership looks like and how I interact with them. And I've become kind of set a goal for myself from an education training where I want to be a facilitator rather than a decision maker and have everybody else be decision makers around the direction of the company. That's really challenged me to kind of to step up to up level. The example that I got was one of my employees actually gave me the example of the CEO of Hulu that ended up running their leadership team, where essentially he was a roadblock solver, but didn't determine any portion of the strategic plan, which I thought was really cool.
And what prompted you to realize that it was more important to be a facilitator rather than a strategic decision maker? Because I think that's pretty bold.
It was a lot of self-evaluation and a lot of fear. I realized pretty quick that since I'm the least technical person in my entire firm, that if I was going to be making decisions about what technology we should be investing in and what direction where we should be putting our investment and our eggs and our expertise, that's a recipe for disaster. It's the putting the least qualified person in a place of power, which I don't know, depending on people's political leanings, you might actually think that's where the United States is going. But that's where I went and kind of in my head where I needed to empower the people who are really, really knowledgeable and in have in-depth understanding about our clients and the market to empower them to become a much more of a front and center decision maker mm-hmm. in the company.
How did your own support help you make the transformation to focus your own time and strengths on being a facilitator?
They're great. I mean, it's a combination of a lot of different factors my leadership team is stellar, just absolutely amazing individuals that fully stepped up to the challenge because, you know, they knew that meant they were going to have to take a bigger leadership role and transform themselves. But then I was also able to combine that with a lot of the resources that I get from the entrepreneur organization and people who have done this for a living, to be able to combine that and have blended a lot of the different tools in the day-to-day overall process. It's been great to see everybody embrace it and then come up with new ideas to be able to push me to step out in front. Hmm.
Are there facets of what the entrepreneurs organization does that seem to be counterintuitive in the way they help people like you?
Yeah, well, it depends on counterintuitive from what perspective. A big portion of what we talk about quite a bit is, you know, the organization itself is centered on the entrepreneur, but the biggest strength an entrepreneur or a leader can have is making them the least significant person in the equation. But it's really tough when you have that, you know, when you're an entrepreneur, you're sitting in that moment when it's your money or it's your reputation, your home, your family on the line, and you have to make a decision. But then also to be able to take a step back and have some humility and realize in the moment that things are going to be fine, that you need to make a decision that's going to take everybody's opinion into consideration, especially when it's an opinion that may or may not be in alignment and respect that obligation and responsibility. What we talk a lot about is practicing that quiet confidence and that humility to be able to be calm in the face of all the different adversity and realize kind of that you need to have a high level appreciation for the opportunity of where you're at. And that tends to be a little bit counterintuitive to most people, I think.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it is. And do you think that exercising that level of leadership with humility is something that is particular to entrepreneurs organization, or do you think that it is something that can emanate from any kind of peer support organization?
I'm not sure if it's particular to, I think it's from what I've seen as far as peer organizations, most of them try to take a certain component of that, but it's all about how you put it into practice. And the cool part about the organization is that it allows for a lot of flexibility in individuals to be able to create their own way of doing things, depending on the personalities. So the majority of resources that I've seen usually focus on how the entrepreneur can be a better individual, or like I think we talked about in the last podcast, like the 40-hour work year or whatever. I think it's a bunch of crap for me personally. I think, like, you know, it's a methodology that centers around the entrepreneur working less, and you know, it's very entrepreneur centered, right? Versus being turning it around and being a kind of a servant to your organization and being making sure, like, whatever, like, I think the power of the entrepreneur is making doing whatever you need to do to make sure that your organization is going to be and the people in it are going to be successful.
Are there any like step-by-step actions that you find really help with this mindset or this framework?
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that we've been working on is kind of, because it's similar to kind of reversing the entrepreneur, the typical entrepreneur cycle. And there's a lot of books out there that kind of combined, they end up getting to this philosophy. But, you know, it's the concept of, you know, most individuals in general start off with their work or their business being kind of the center of the universe and where they spent the majority of their time. And then they end up moving to their family next, whether or not they come home and they pick the kids up from school, cook dinner. They'll usually deal within the family context, their kids first, and then move on to their spouse afterwards if they're at the end of the day, jumping into bed, talking, having a glass of wine, whatever. And then you start that cycle again and maybe try to find some kind of time. Maybe it's first thing in the morning to work out for the self. And typically that cycle we find is broken. That wheel is broken and that it needs to be reversed. And that, you know, you start with building a good self in order to facilitate the rest of your spouse, your kids, and your work, because typically with most people, the work will define that self. So it ends up allowing the circle to be complete. And that's actually a combination of it's something that is actually taught in the entrepreneur organization.
As a result of implementing some of these strategies, what are some of the changes you've made in the way you run your business?
So we opened up like this year at Blueprint, we opened up our entire leadership team to the entire staff. So everybody could actually pitch to be on the leadership team. And this is the team that actually determines the strategy, the strategic direction for the entire company, all the way to the individual consultant level. We actually left a spot open for a member from the consulting ranks specifically. So we're able to get everybody's like a perspective from all aspects and all corners of the organization. And why we think that's pretty powerful is that, going back to that philosophy of like building a good organization, has a real diverse and almost not necessarily contrary, but definitely challenging set of interactions, where if you have a set of individuals that are determining the strategy for a company and they're all challenging each other to think differently and come from very diverse backgrounds, that you'll end up building a much more well-rounded organization. And that really came from everybody that was on that is a manager or executive being able to step back and say, yes, everybody's opinion is important, right? Because everybody we bring into the organization is that good of a person and that talented. So that's one of the changes that we made, which is a big departure from how we've done things in the past.
Mm-hmm. And what results have you seen?
It's been awesome. It just implemented this year, but it's been really cool to get a number of different ideas that we just had a gap. We had a big gap on how, because there was a number of individuals on the leadership team that had come from where we started. And, you know, we've grown from two employees sitting in a room together trying to get this thing off the ground to now over, I think we have over 650 employees in less than 4 years. And so where we started from is so different fundamentally, but it's really tough. It's really challenging to get rid of those preconceptions and reinvent yourself year over year if you have any kind of a growth rate. And what we found ourselves doing is that we had these preconceptions about how we thought the world worked. And that was actually hindering our growth because we just had... Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's an example of one of these preconceptions?
So our sales strategy, for instance, our sales strategy was all geared towards actually going out and building regions across the nation by going out and establishing these centers in region and building them up, because we have a belief that localized relationships are huge. We're all of our businesses gained by trusted relationships and, you know, premier partnerships. And we were really struggling with this, but that was a presumption that we made about how we were going to be able to build out our regional centers. And then we had one of our individuals that came in and said, well, but all of our intellectual property and there's just a difference in culture here in the Seattle area with what we do in our building, in our kind of headquarters. And to the point where all of our regions were pushing to come to the Seattle area on a regular basis because they came back recharged and thought differently about the way that they did their job. And we thought, well, I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody that was new on the team said, if all these companies are moving to the Seattle area, why are we trying to go out and get to them? Why don't we just pile on their movement into the Seattle area and focus on worldwide companies that are headquartered here in the Seattle area? And that completely changed our business development, our client development strategy for 2017.
Yeah, that's a great example. What do you think is coming up over the next year or two?
As far as the industry goes or for Blueprint particularly?
For Blueprint.
Well, and the biggest thing is we actually launched this month Blueprint Labs. So I think if we talked about this in the last podcast, one of the aspirations that we had when we created the Blueprint Consulting Services was the theory that if we go out and get amazingly talented individuals, the best talent that's out there, and we convince them to come work for Blueprint and do great, amazing things for our clients and build incredible tools and do game-changing transformation work, that we should be able to harness that same intellectual property and get everybody in the room together and create amazing things. So one of the things we wanted to do was in the midst of a really high-end strategic consultancy, build an incubator so that the individual that really would love to jump into a startup and become an entrepreneur and has a really good idea for a product that they think is going to change the world, they don't have to jump in with both feet and risk their family and their house, which is a typical startup, right? Startup option. They're able to do that with the protection of the consultancy and their day job still intact. And that's Blueprint Labs. And it just launched this month. So it's our first step at an actual incubator for a consultancy. And I think we have three products that are slated to be developed this year. And we have our next big thing, a happy hour that we do on a regular basis that is our kind of ideation session, which generates all these different ideas about what's happening in the market. And then we have our innovation cup where our employees all get together and they get funding to be able to kind of like a company-wide hackathon to be able to create something that is in a particular theme. So what people should expect to see out of Blueprint is a bunch of ideation and product creation and innovation, hopefully.
Wow, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What have been some of the unexpected challenges that have come up over the last couple of years?
The biggest challenges that we've had over the last couple of years is all around managing scale in conjunction with expectations. So what I mean by that is, you know, we have big aspirations and we've done a great job not allowing the kind of constraints of traditional reality, conventional reality to hinder us. But being able to leverage that or combine that with some good patience about how the market moves. We just went through a scenario where we wanted to expand into open up a new office and expand into a certain space. And we had set what we thought were fairly reasonable expectations for our client to be able to get it done. And we ran into a number of different scenarios that kind of delayed that and knocked it off course, which is always tough. And then the other big thing that we talk about and everybody talks about is talent acquisition. Our profile is really unique because we not only get really top tech talent in the industry, and we're in the hotbed in the Seattle area between Amazon, which is now our next door neighbor, to Microsoft, Facebook. We have, you know, companies like Blue Origin and SpaceX and all these different companies that are coming to the Seattle market. So everybody that's talented has a lot of different options, and we have to continue to reinvent ourselves and make this place a place that everybody would say yes to in the face of all those different offers.
Yeah, talent acquisition is a huge thing. Ryan, what piece of advice would you offer somebody who is in the place you might have been in 5 years ago?
I think the biggest, like, there's no substitute for hard work. There's absolutely no substitute for hard work. And regardless of where you start off, it doesn't matter. I mean, 5 years, like, this tech consulting company has been around for 4 years and is now over 650 employees. And 5 years ago, I had never been a consultant. I knew nothing about technology. And I just saw the business opportunity with a bunch of great people and just started learning and working really, really hard. So I think that's the, like, I personally think, like, sleep way overvalued. In 20 years, I'll sleep on the beach somewhere if I really want to catch up on my rest, you know.
Yeah, but I gather you're not bored either.
No, not at all. If you're like, I don't understand the concept of boredom. If you are bored, change. If you're bored, change. Change yourself, change everything, change something, change whatever. Like, doesn't matter. Get out of your seat and move around. Get out, like, figure out. Their biggest failing is they just don't take a step. They don't move, right? And we, to the point where nobody in Blueprint gets a promotion. Every single person that receives a promotion, they have to pitch for it. They have to make a case for it, but they never receive it. There's no tenure base. There's no position base. They have to actually pitch and earn it. So we put that philosophy into play at every facet of our business.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And what do you do to, I know that you just said that you didn't know anything about being a consultant 5 years ago or 4 years ago when you started the company. What advice can you offer entrepreneurs that want to create an organization that is a successful learning organization?
Well, first of all, you have to start with yourself. So the individual constantly has to learn and try to reinvent. And I think it's one of the biggest challenges for entrepreneurs is reinventing themselves, because it's that, you know, with an entrepreneur, it's that kind of perfect convergence of ego and reward and responsibility and obligation. And I mean, the energy around it is very much the, like, playing a band as well and being up on stage. It's very, very similar to the energy you feel. But then there's also, you know, when you get done with a show in a band, you can walk over to the bar and you're done. An entrepreneur never stops, right? And has to deal with the bad stuff as well. And so the individual entrepreneur has to be constantly working at trying to improve themselves, and then also realize that they don't have everything figured out. And really, it's not that everybody's looking, all your employees and everybody out in the industry is looking to you for leadership, but they don't expect you to have it all figured out. They expect you to facilitate an environment where it's okay to try to figure it out and to mess it up. And I think that's the biggest thing that I would say is, you know, like, for entrepreneurs that go into it is create an environment where it's okay to fail within a certain set of constraints.
Right. Which also creates, as part of your culture, the fact that you're all learning all the time.
Yeah, and that you're constantly improving. A good portion of people that hire us, they hire us because they are at a plateau in their organization, a big corporate, like some big corporate business group, where they've completely hit a plateau in their industry, but they're so big that they can't facilitate their way through that plateau. And so they'll hire an outside resource to come in and completely shake things up because they can't see above the trees. And so creating that environment, especially as you grow and staying true to that, is absolutely crucial.
Sounds great. Ryan, how can listeners learn more about what you're up to, what's coming up in the near future, and follow you?
There's a number of different ways. Social media is always good. I'm pretty, despite being the president of a tech consulting company, I'm pretty low tech. So,
because you're a facilitator.
Yeah, exactly. I have a firm belief that I'm more effective if I never have a login to any of our systems. That means I'm not in any of the details. But our website's really good. Most of our stuff comes on social media. And then if they want to reach out to us directly, my cell phone's always on. My email is usually published around, so have reach out to me directly or any of our talented, amazing staff.
Sounds great. And last question, Ryan, whom do you know personally who is really great at smashing plateaus?
Well, I think the one that comes to mind as I was thinking about this is one of our main clients right now. He's helping us co-develop a product for his company. And the product in itself is innovative. It's going to revolutionize the analytics world in business systems, any particular type of business scenario. But what he's done pretty expertly, he's a former Marine and ex-tank commander that has turned executive in one of the major clients, big Fortune 500 static organization. And what he's done is pretty masterfully transformed that organization that it's not incentivized at all and has no business creating a product to actually embrace that mentality, which has been amazing to watch over this last year. So that's something that you guys will see coming out of Blueprint as well, as that's one of the main products that's going to come out of the labs this year.
Sounds great. Well, Ryan, thanks so much for taking the time to come back on Smashing the Plateau. It's been awesome hearing what you've been up to since the last time you were on. Congratulations on achieving really huge growth and doing it with great leadership and humility at the same time.
David, I appreciate you having on the show, and congratulations. You guys have been pacing the same growth percentage that we have.
Thank you. So my guest today has been Ryan Neal, president of Blueprint Consulting Services. Thank you again, Ryan, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.